is Digital Marketer.
This week, it's Ryan Dice.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Marketer Podcast. My name is Jenna Snavely. I'm your host, and today I sat down with Ryan Dice and talked about the email newsletter. No, it is not 2007. It is, in fact, still 2019 for now. And this was an awesome conversation because it gave me a lot of insight into the strategy behind our newest project, the DM Insider. I'm not going to get too much into it now because we talk all about the psychology of it, the purpose of it, what we're trying to do, and what some of our results have been so far. So with all that said, roll that tape. So we're going to talk about newsletters and kind of starting off with massive failure.
Oh,
great. And I know that's kind of how things began in a way.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, well, so, you know, we've been watching our email performance kind of steady decline over the last, you know, over the last couple of years. And it wasn't that significant at first. And you know, and we realized some of it was like actually technical in nature that's unrelated to this. And we were able to, you know, make some changes there. But what it did is it kind of masked, like when we thought it was technical, we're like, oh, okay, it must be technical. But then we fixed the technical stuff. We're like, you know, we're still seeing diminishing returns. It's not, you know, were it not for some of the technical issues that we saw, I don't know if we would have looked at the data enough because it's kind of been this slow and steady decline in performance and not like, you know, it kind of was this steep drop off. But we went and we looked at it. And we're just seeing like, this is just working a little bit worse each and every day. And once we fixed the technical stuff and we realized, okay, the only thing that's left is us, we realized that, yeah, I think we're just not doing a very good job serving our subscribers. And, you know, I started thinking and just talking to the people, like, what are the emails that I open? And what are the emails, not just that I open, that I look forward to? What are the emails that if they don't arrive, I miss and I actually go and do a search for them in my inbox? And what I realized is that these were the emails that actually put value into my inbox. Now, it doesn't mean they never made a promotion. It doesn't mean that they never asked me to buy something at some point in time. But at least, you know, once a week, they sent me something that just right there in my inbox, no clicks required, you know, there was some value. Like that was the thing that was the most kind of compelling, the ones I look forward to. It, funny enough, it wasn't the best subject lines. I'm not saying that those don't matter, but I looked for that from field because I know like that just adds value. And yeah, just looking at it, the big mistake that we made is we stopped putting value in our subscribers' inboxes. Everything shifted to, you know, kind of when we went into content marketing, everything shifted in this mode of like, okay, let's put, you know, value, you know, we'll put our content on a blog. That way people can find it and Google can find it. And yeah, we'll send emails to folks telling them that they can click on a link and go to the blog, but we stopped putting value in people's inboxes. And I think as a result, they stopped opening the emails. Mm-hmm. So that was a big mistake that we made. And I don't even want to calculate how much money it's cost us over the last, you know, couple of years.
I also don't want to do that.
Yeah, this is not fun math.
This is sad math.
Yeah, sad math. But yeah, that was a big mistake. I mean, and as simple as that sounds, sometimes as I think marketers, we do this, right? Mm-hmm. We begin optimizing. And so you optimize yourself. There's like optimization takes one path. It has one destination. And that destination is you're just kind of an ass.
Man.
You optimize yourself into an ass corner where, you know, by the time you've optimized for, okay, opens and clicks and revenue and all this and this, the thing that doesn't show up in any metrics report is value. Did people like it? You have to kind of step back, put on your customer hat and go, would I open this? Would I, you know, look at this? And it wasn't until we had that technical issue and we started asking ourselves a bunch of questions that we realized like, no, I wouldn't. We're not doing a good job. And so we had to, we're going to, Bill, I'm not excited to do this. We're going to do a whole big campaign around, hey, we suck and I'm sorry, you know, to our subscribers. But I didn't want to do that until we first fixed the glitch, so to speak. And so really the last couple of months have been all about like, how do we fix it? How do we make it better? I'm you know, really proud to say that like, as we stand here today, our open rates for our new stuff is more than double what we were seeing before.
Yeah, that's huge.
So we fix the glitch.
Yeah. So basically our goodwill bar kind of depleted.
Yeah.
And then we were still using the same playbooks that worked when we had a full goodwill bar.
Yeah.
And I almost think we wouldn't have seen if we were just focusing on like that month over month, we wouldn't have seen the decline as much. But when we kept going back like year over year, that's when we, is that
yeah,
true?
Yeah, no, literally it? We're like, wow, this has been getting bad for a while. And look, there's no doubt. I mean, email performance as a whole, you know, has declined over what it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, you know, you think 15 years ago, we log into, you know, at least me, you're maybe too young for this, but you know, you log into AOL and you've got mail, right? And you're like, yay, I've got mail, right? I mean, so a lot's changed. I mean, a lot's changed in the email world and it's declined as a whole. And so we just kind of chalked it up to that. But it wasn't until we started looking around and going like, wait, no, this is just kind of bad. And I think, again, it goes to hubris, right? We decided, no, you don't understand. Like, we're really good at email. And we were really good at crafting emails in isolation that particular promotion, you know, would do well, all things considered. It'd do better than, you know, maybe if somebody else produced it. Like, so we're really good at that. But what about the holistic kind of, what about brand? You know, what about the value that people are receiving overall? What about that? And that's what we weren't really measuring for because it just doesn't show up in your metrics.
So newsletters are not new.
No.
Email newsletters, they were on their way out.
Yeah.
And now there's definitely a resurgence.
Yeah.
So what made you decide this was the route?
Yeah. So again, it went back to, you know, I put on my human hat. And marketers need to do this from time to time, right? Because marketers talk to other marketers and, you know, I'll kind of call it like, I'm going to put on my redneck hat, right? Growing up in Texas, like I'm allowed to say that. And it's like, okay, would my redneck friends be into this? You know, my buddies that I grew up with, you know, mm-hmm. the people that they're not marketers, they don't care about anything. Like, what would they do? And so I kind of put that on and I'm like, you know, the stuff that I open, you know, I look forward to receiving newsletters like The Hustle and Morning Brew, you know, and, you know, I even signed up because when I was looking at like The Skim, mm-hmm. you know, which is a newsletter primarily targeted, you know, at females, you know, and I asked around like, hey, do you, and find out like all these people who I know, you know, people in the office that subscribe to, you know, to these different newsletters. I looked at like CB Insights, which is a B2B newsletter that targets the kind of venture capital type investment space. You know, they're selling $40,000, $50,000 a year research subscriptions, right? To these big institutions. And they have this really compelling, interesting newsletter that I actually read and that I read and I enjoy. So it came number one from just saying, okay, I'm going to take off a marketer hat, put on my, you know, human hat, put on a redneck hat and say, what do I want? But then when I started diving into the research and finding out, okay, this works for me. Am I an outlier? Because you also have to be careful about, you know, anytime in marketing, you're not always your customer. Like even if you take off your marketer hat, you put on, you know, your human hat, you still may not be your customer. So I had a theory, I had a hypothesis that like, gosh, maybe these email newsletter things that we decided were dead. And I remember when it happened, like, so it used to be that everybody had an email newsletter. We called them e-zines. Mm-hmm. Like I remember one of the very first products that I put out there was called the Great E-Zine Experiment.
Go to
archive.org, go to the Wayback Machine and put in greatezineexperiment.com. You'll see a very old sales letter. But I mean, I've been doing this stuff since I think that was 2002 was when I kind of put out that and this whole idea about how e-zines are a big thing. And this is, you know, really what you need to build your business around is this idea of putting, you know, content in people's inboxes. And what happened is it got old. And like what happens so often in marketing is we chase the shiny objects and, you know, we kind of want to ignore the stuff that's been around for a while and declare that it doesn't work anymore, mm-hmm. even when it does. And so, you know, we decided, I remember when we kind of decided that email newsletters didn't work, and it's when blogging came into vogue. Because the basic idea was, oh, well, why would I send somebody an article or content in their inbox? That's crazy. We need to take that content and we need to put it on a blog. And it came from a really good place because the idea is, well, now everybody can find it. Yep, we're going to email our subscribers about it. We're also going to put it on the blog. Hmm. And then the concept was, well, we don't want to also send all the content via email and put it on the blog. Let's just send them a link telling them it's there. That's going to drive additional traffic. You know, we can have now conversations in the comments area. People will share it. It will go viral.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It was this whole concept of that. And I know for me mentally, that was when the email newsletter died. Hmm. I didn't declare it dead or anything like that. It's just to me, it's like, yeah, well, obviously, that was a thing that served that particular moment in time. And it doesn't matter anymore because now we have this new thing called blogs. Mm. I'd made the classic mistake that so many marketers, business people make, which is believing that one medium ultimately replaces another. And it doesn't happen. It augments. You know, the radio did not replace print. television did not replace radio. Like, all of these things exist in tandem. They coexist together, and they all benefit from one another.
Mm-hmm.
But we just decided that, yeah, this is old. But when we looked at what emails were actually opening, what was I looking forward to? It was the dang email newsletter. So I went and did some research and found out that, you know, companies like Vox, which is a very progressive digital media company, they had this entire email newsletter department that was like Quartz, you know, Quartz, again, another like digital first, you know, kind of started off putting content online. You know, they were basically finding that really the only people who were reading their stuff were people who were subscribed to the newsletter. So they hired like newsletter editors. And then companies like The Hustle, you know, thehustle.co and The Skim. Now at Morning Brew, now we're seeing these companies coming out where their whole product is an email newsletter.
Hmm.
It's like this whole generation that didn't remember, nobody told them that no, that's old. It's like it became retro.
Yeah.
And it became the, you know, email newsletters, they weren't old, they were now vintage, right? And so all like the hipster marketers are pulling them off the shelves of their, you know, local thrift store and bringing them out. But the reality is they never went away. And so that's kind of where, you know, why we decided to adjust our strategy.
Video did not kill the radio star.
It didn't. Video did not kill the radio star.
But also another thing I see that happened is that people went on autopilot with those old newsletters. And it's kind of in the same way that like when sitcoms were sitcoms and then suddenly The Sopranos came out, it was like, oh my God,
yeah,
they're like doing something amazing with TV. So there's this like resurgence of such quality that, you know, if you had your like crappy little newsletter that was just like, oh, this happened today and we love our customers, you know, it's like, it's so different from the way The Hustle is like bringing you these really interesting kind of crazy stories about business.
I think that's a great point. I think let's hang out there for a little bit, because you're absolutely right. All that a newsletter is or a blog is it's a mechanism for content distribution, right? Same with a podcast, right? What we're doing right now. If the content is bad, then it's always going to not work. Like it's always going to fail. Like, you know, people are going to ignore it. And I think you're right. At the time, you know, the idea that like, oh, well, I sent you some content, you're welcome, it's in there. You know, back then, email newsletters, that was the only content you got. There weren't really much in the way of blogging. The noise that was out there was very, very limited. Webinars fundamentally didn't exist.
Hmm.
You know, the technology wasn't there, you know, way back then, right? When we kind of decided. Now, there's information everywhere. It's great. So it is probably good that we took that pause point. And, you know, now we're coming out and launching, you know, the DM Insider, you know, newsletter. And we're making sure that, yeah, this content needs to be amazing. Like this needs to be our absolute best stuff, like better, more timely, more relevant than anything else that would even go on the blog. Like this needs to be really like cutting edge, phenomenal stuff. We need to treat it like a product. And you're right. That was inspired by, you know, seeing the people who are doing it well. And so thankful for those folks who did that. Because yeah, I mean, there's nothing magical about an email newsletter or a blog or a podcast. The content still has to be amazing. But I do think that there's an opportunity right now if, you know, you leverage email as an aspect of your marketing, and I bet only 100% of everybody who's listening does, there's an opportunity to really re-engage with your subscribers in a meaningful way if you get back to putting really great content in, you know, in their inbox. That, you know, when I went and looked at it, like, okay, why is this working for, you know, for people? If you pull out your phone, I guarantee you've got your social apps there, but you also have your inbox app. People check their inbox multiple times a day. They check their inbox so often that there's courses out there teaching you how to not check your email so freaking often. And yet we still do it, right? We still check our email constantly. Nobody has to learn how to use it. It's not a new app that you need to download from the app store. Everybody knows how to use email. And yet when I receive an email in my inbox, at that moment as I'm reading it, there's no distraction. On my phone, it is taking up the entire screen. It's not like on social where there's an ad over here, or I can scroll down and now there's a dancing cat and an ad below that, you know, all those kind of things. Like I am, it's very, very intimate. I'm pushing this information directly into somebody's pocket. And when they look at it, it's the only thing they see. And so I think it not only has it always been here, but I think actually the shift from desktop to mobile made it only that much more relevant.
Hmm.
And so I think that's part of the reason that we've seen this kind of email newsletter renaissance.
Yeah. And I'll even say, I check my email all the time. I check that app all the time. The last thing I want to do is work. No offense. but like respond to them. But I do want to read the ones that are interesting. Like if I'm standing in a line, that gives me, it's, you know, it's the back of a cereal box. Mm-hmm. It gives me something to look at.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting content to read, and it's content that you chose. Like there's this implicit like, hey, you asked for this.
Yeah.
So you give it a, like, you go and be like, ah, I must have subscribed to this. So I guess I like it. You know, at some point, at least mm-hmm. I thought enough. So I'm going to give it more than just a passive glance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to see the subject line. I'm going to recognize the from field. And like I said before, there's just some stuff. Subject line is irrelevant. If it's from a particular source, I'm opening it and I know I'm going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I may not read if it's totally interesting. I may not read to the bottom, but they got a shot.
Yeah.
And that's something that I want when people see, you know, DM Insider in their from field. I want to be like, oh, yes, great. It's here. You know, mm-hmm. click and, you know, then begin to translate that over to the digital marketer brand. And, you know, when we send emails.
Okay. So DM Insider, not only did we start, you know, thinking of a new strategy, we are thinking of releasing this newsletter, but we kind of reshaped the way we release product around DM Insider. So I feel like the investment was beyond just having someone writing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we really put an investment into it.
Yeah. And I think that's what you need to do. So if you just think about an email newsletter as I'm just going to send another email, then it's like you said, like you're producing another lame, you know, sitcom with a laugh track and everybody else is producing The Sopranos and House of Cards. And I don't watch TV, but you
Lost.
Know what I'm saying?
Lost.
Yeah, there you go. I watched that one for sure. Yeah. So you're just out there, you know, you're producing the lame-o sitcom and everybody else is doing this awesome stuff. We want to take it even to the next level and think, okay, this is a product. Like I want to approach this not as I'm just sending an email, but I want to treat this newsletter like a product. So, you know, then the thought became, well, what if the newsletter wasn't the whole of the product? You know, what if we have a phenomenal free level to digital marketing? Because everybody's like, yeah, opt in for my email list, like get this lead magnet and now mm-hmm. you're a subscriber and all this. Like, and that's good, you know, offering valuable. You know, we began to think, well, what if we have a truly free product? So not just a free trial, but a truly free product where one of the products, one of the things that you get is this DM Insider newsletter. But then what if we also have a bunch of our tools in there? So we take all of our, you know, disparate lead magnets and things like that, and we put them in an area where it's accessible. And, you know, what if we provide, you know, free like video content, like if we do an office hours or if somebody's, you know, in town and we, you know, have them teach us something cool, we record that, put that in there as well. What if we give an actual experience for this and we deliver this experience in the same members area where our premium paid content is? Now it's very easy for people to click a button or a link in app and say, you know what, the free content's great. I love everything that I'm getting. I'd like to check out some of this premium content right now. And with just a couple of clicks, I can check that out as well for, you know, 14 days totally free. We believe this is going to be a game changer because no longer are we having to, you know, send a bunch of stuff, send out a bunch of promo right there when they're in the moment of, you know, receiving some value for free. You know, they're going to, you know, be engaged within our members area to get an opportunity to upgrade. But we still need a mechanism to reach out to them and get them to come into that members area. How do you do that? I mean, obviously we can advertise to them, which we do. So we can advertise, we can retarget. The best way that works is, you know, the thing that works better than anything else, email. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that if we wanted this free product to work, then an aspect, a component of the product that needed to be there and it needed to be great was this email newsletter component. And that's the entry point now for everything. So now when somebody opts in for a lead magnet, it used to be, you know, give us your name and email address and we'll give you this, you know, we'll give you this tool, you know, so that we'll give you this marketing scorecard. Spreadsheet. Yeah,
you consume it once.
Yeah, and it's give us your email address. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Now they're on your list and you're emailing them, I guess, but they don't really know why. And you know, it's just like, hey, you gave me your email address, and you know, there was the fine print that said I would follow up with you. You know, and
right.
You know, that's fine. I mean, I guess it's what we did for years, and it, you know, and it works. But what we wanted to say was, okay, you get this tool when you become a DM Insider. And when you become a DM Insider, not only do you get this tool, but you get access to all these other great tools we have, and you're going to receive our weekly newsletter plus ongoing, you know, additional premium content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that actually, believe it or not, that little bit of a value add actually hurts conversion rates. It is actually better purely from a conversion rate perspective. Your conversion rate is a little bit higher if you just say, hey, want this marketing scorecard
Here's
spreadsheet?
This thing.
Give us your email address. There you go. That will get a higher conversion rate than you get this marketing scorecard spreadsheet when you become a DM insider. And then you'll also get this and this and this and this. That adding that extra layer of complexity to the offer, even though it's more value, actually causes people to sign up less. But we made the decision that we're okay with that. We're okay with having, you know, slight, because it's not like it's dramatically less. It's not like it drops it in half or anything like that. I think it drops it, you know, by maybe 15-20%. But those 15-20% of the folks who are basically saying, no, I just want this one thing and I want you to leave me the heck alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people who would have opted in, got it, or they would have opted in with a fake email address, you know, that kind of stuff. We want, I think now is the time when everybody else is going for quantity, scale, to really kind of swing the pendulum a bit the other way and say, you know what, let's go for less, but maybe, you know, offer more and in exchange, see if we can get maybe a bit more data out of folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a part of setting up their free account, their free membership, we ask them, hey, so tell me about you. Like, which best describes you? Are you a solo founder? Are you a, you know, marketing executive? Are you agency or a consultant? You know, freelancer? It's good for us to know that. We can, not only can we make more appropriate offers, but we can also send them more relevant content. You know, what size company do you work for? Or, you know, again, is it solo? Is it just you? You know, small business, you know, medium-sized business? Are you at some massive enterprise? You know, we are able to collect this kind of information right now during the signup process. We didn't make it a longer form. That obliterated conversion rates, by the way. But when it was, okay, give us your email address, and now it's, okay, let's set up your account. You know, what's your name? What do you want your password to be? And then getting into those steps on additional pages, we found that 96% of the people who start that process actually finish it and give us all that information.
That's incredible.
And that was the huge breakthrough. And but it's because we're not just saying, give me your email address and I'll give you this thing. It shifts the positioning from give me your email address and I'll give you this thing that's just very transactional. Very, just that nature. It's like, you know, going up somebody at a bar and be like, I'll buy you a drink if you'll make out with me, right? Like that's a weird pickup line. You know, this is way more transactional. It's like, hey, you get this thing when you're in this area and it's awesome and it's gonna be great and you're gonna really like it. Now they're going through and they're setting up their account.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it far more likely they're gonna consume it, far more likely they're gonna actually open the email, see value in it, and far more likely that they're going to ascend. So we took this concept of, you know, putting value in the inbox really to an extreme and said, let's put it in the inbox and then let's also create additional value, you know, here in this stage so that, you know, yeah, we'll accept lower conversion rates on the front end for higher quality, not just email address where we technically have permission to follow up, but a member who wants us to follow up.
So on that, on the transactional part, I there's something that you mentioned that I really want to dig into. And I would argue that it's transformational. And I think you'll agree because when someone signs up, they're not just signing up to get something right, that transaction. They're becoming a DM insider, right?
I wish I would have said that because that sounded really... No, you're so right. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, it's not just that, okay, here's my email address. It's like, yeah, we're now going out. Like we are a couple to continue with the dating. No, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, it shifts it from being transactional to transformative. It's way more of a conversion. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've mentioned before too, the status thing, just the name insider itself, you know, applies a status to them.
Yeah. And that was intentional, right? So we wanted to make sure that when somebody, you know, joined that the idea was, you know, you're now an insider. So, you know, you get exclusive content that normal people don't get.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I know like a lot of the conversations that you and I have had have been in around, you know, how do we change this from, you know, some of the premium content being like, oh yeah, we're doing a webinar with somebody too. Yeah, we're going to actually film a video. When a really smart person comes into our office, we're going to film a video of them in our office, like in our whiteboard. It's as though they were here too, getting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So it themes the whole thing around, you're getting to see behind the curtain. I love also, I feel weird like complimenting you while you're interviewing me, but I mean, not that I feel weird complimenting
I'll
you, but
take
it's,
it.
Yeah, no, but you know, we were slacking back and forth yesterday and you said, hey, I did this Zoom, had a Zoom conversation with somebody about TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And what was it? You were just wanting to get more information from them about it for...
Yeah, it was just a discovery call. I was like, oh, maybe one day we can do a training about this, but it ended up just being I mean, it was in real time me learning about how organic TikTok marketing is working.
Yeah.
Now, it was so cool.
In the past, we would have just been like, that was really great. We learned a lot and then moved on. Mm-hmm. But because we've themed the whole thing around being an insider, now it's appropriate to be like, well, if they're insiders, then that's kind of insider level content. Shouldn't it go in there? So I think that the name and the positioning around it matters, but it needs to be something that evokes, you know, a greater strategy. It can't just be like, yeah, okay, you're in this like club and, you know, here's some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we did that at first. I mean, you remember when we were first kind of testing, would somebody sign up for this? It was, you know, okay, you know, you're in, here's a page with a bunch of stuff you can download. There was nothing. And then we had to go back and build, which is fine. If that's what you're doing in the beginning, you know, to test that, that makes sense. But you got to carry it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to say that somebody's an insider, they're a member, then it makes sense to ask them to create a password, you know, to set up an actual account, to give them a login. As marketers, we want to reduce friction as much as possible because we want to maximize throughput. We want to maximize conversion rates. Remember, maximizing conversion rates sometimes can mean you just kind of become a bit of an a-hole, right? Similar to that, maybe if you don't go, you know, the full, you know, a-hole route, sometimes maximizing conversions and reducing all the friction means you're letting too many people through and they don't appreciate it when it's there.
Hmm.
Nobody wants to go to the restaurant that never has a wait.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to go to the club that doesn't have a line out front. There is something to be said for creating that friction, because friction also, when it's deployed properly, can be something that is a value signal. It can signal that additional value. It can signal that, oh, something new happened here that's significant. That when they get on the other side, if it actually delivers, they're like, wow, I'm so glad that I did this.
Yeah.
This is great. And I think, yeah, it gets back to that transformative aspect that you were talking about.
That's a status thing too. I know Ipsy, the subscription box, does that where you're on a wait list. You have to sign up to like eventually get their subscription box.
Yeah.
But they put you on a wait list. I feel like I could talk about the psychology of Insider Forever, but I know there was a specific way that we launched it that was very important. Number one, they went on our main list, but we created a special list for just insiders.
Yeah. So the temptation was, you know, so digital marketers list is around 700,000 subscribers. So the temptation was, okay, well, let's just take everybody who's currently a subscriber and let's say, good news, you're now an insider.
Mm.
See, that would have got us the maximum number of insiders. And honestly, at first, that's what I was thinking. Hey, you know, we want to give value to our list. Let's do it. It's the right thing to do. You know, we haven't been giving in enough value. So let's just make them all insiders and have them do this. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, okay, you can do that, but you're going to maximize the number of insiders that you have. But, you know, they're still not going to value it. They're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to go through that positive friction that we talked about. And so you're just kind of fooling yourself, right? It's better than just going and getting a bunch of people out of the phone book and dropping them in, but not much because they didn't ask for it. So we made the decision, and it was a bit scary to do, of saying we're not going to register anybody who's currently on our list as an insider. Everybody will have to re-opt in. They will essentially have to re-register. They'll have to go through the entire process to do that. So what we did is we just started sending out the newsletter. Let's not say anything to anybody. Let's just send the first issue of the newsletter out to the entire list. Hmm. And let's send it from DM Insider. And let's see what happens. And sure enough, it got actually a little bit better open rate, you know, than a normal email. And I think it's because we had a really good subject line. Maybe there was some interest around what's this DM Insider thing in the from field, but it did pretty well. And we got good feedback from it. The readership was good, you know, got a number of replies like, wow, this is great. I hope you do more of this. And so we did it again the next Monday. And we did it 3 Mondays in a row. And then we let everybody know, okay, we've been sending out this newsletter. If you want to keep receiving it, then you need to go and become an insider. And you know, we did that. We got, I don't know, around like 10,000 something folks to go ahead and move over. And if I'm being honest, like, okay, 10,000 out of like 700 or something, that sucks. Like, it was hard to kind of, you know, it was a little bit difficult at first because it's like, maybe we should just go ahead and like, okay, we did our little dance, like, let's go ahead and move over. But we stuck to it and said, no, we're not going to. Now, you know, yeah, within 30 days, I think we're scaring 100,000 people in that insider list in only about 30 days. So as more people saw it, as they went open some of the legacy things, we had more and more people signing up. This new list is consistently getting over a 30% open rate, scaring 40%. Now, if you look at, I had a conversation with Sam Parr, who's the founder of The Hustle. Now, Sam's getting 50 to 60% conversion rates, right? Because they've been producing consistently great you know, content every single day for years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not quite there, but I'll tell you, there were times when we were struggling to get a 10% open rate. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some times when we sent emails and it was pretty, you know, it was pretty dismal. So to be, you know, triple, quadruple what we were before in that short a period of time, it tells me that it is possible to have an email list that does in fact get a 50% open mm-hmm. rate over time. Like this is not, you know, some pipe dream. Like you can do it, but they have to actually want it. They have to actually look forward to it. So we're not done launching it yet. We did that initial thing where we sort of gave the value and said, by the way, you know, the reason we did this newsletter is because we realized we kind of been sucking. You know, we're going to do better, but we, if you really want our best stuff, go over here and be an insider. And here's where you need to do it right now. We're going to come back around again and do a much bigger campaign, you know, to our list now that there's even more value. We're getting more of our ducks in a row and we, you know, are producing the newsletter. It's getting better and better and better. We have the members area is built out, you know, the new members area
that's
built out.
That's going to be really cool.
That's a great experience. So now we're at a point where it's really time to go big. Mm-hmm. And I believe what's going to happen is, you know, I don't think we're going to get all 700,000 people to re-opt in, but my guess is we'll probably, you know, in 6 months get anywhere from 250,000 to, you know, 350,000 folks who will, you know, move over, migrate over, new folks come in. I believe that list will be three times more valuable than what the old list was mm-hmm. before. Just by looking at what is the open rate difference, you know, in there, not just the engagement rate, but people forwarding things. Like we're watching our open rate of some of these emails. The unique open rate is way better. The non-unique open rate is through the roof. And the only reason that can happen is because folks are forwarding it. They're going, oh, this is actually good content, right? I mean, so we never saw that before. Mm-hmm. The unique open rate and the non-unique open rate was about the same, you know?
Interesting.
And now we're starting to see these big gaps because people are forwarding it. They're opening it multiple times because they're going back and reading it again because they're getting value from it. Like, mm-hmm. this is a really cool thing that's happening. I'm embarrassed that it took us this long to figure it out, but I'm really happy that when we launched it, that we didn't just say, hey, congratulations, you now get this. I'm happy that we made everybody kind of re-opt in again. It also, just as a handy little, you know, nice little benefit, all the people upon re-opting in, they filled out the form, so we get a lot more data.
Hmm.
You know, when we got that data, that allows us to segment, you know, figure out who some of our high value segments, but also a lot of them right there in the signup chose to take a trial of the lab to our premium membership. So we actually generate a lot more revenue by having people react in than had we just given it to them. So if you want to follow the same strategy, don't just merely start putting out an email newsletter. I mean, you can, but at some point, really, you know, productize it and have people sign up to receive it so that you know who wants it and who just isn't really that into you anymore.
Yeah. Draw a line, make someone jump.
Yep.
Yeah. This, I don't know if this is a weird question, but do you think there's something to be said for, like, what if we abandoned our old list? Do you think that might happen at some point?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a dumb question.
No, it's not a dumb question at all. Because, you know, look, to continue mailing people who they're not opening doesn't do your brand. It doesn't do, like, just from a list hygiene perspective, you know, the ISPs, because we're gonna email them from the same members at or support at digital marketer. Like, we're gonna email them from the same domain name. Mm-hmm. I guess we could start, but that would be kind of dishonest and a little bit shady, kind of gray hat from an email compliance perspective. So assuming that we're not going to do something shady, and we aren't, if we have this list over here and we continue to mail them, and keep in mind, we're not going to keep mailing the old list, you know, we're not going to leave people on both lists. Like when they subscribe to the new, we take them off the old.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is we've got this amazingly great list over here that's very active and people are following, you know, people are opening and they're clicking and they're engaging. All the ISPs, you know, the Googles and the, you know, the Microsofts, you know, that have Outlook, they're measuring all this and they're saying, okay, people actually like this email. Let's let it go straight to the primary inbox. Like, let's make it to where they see it. They seem to actually like it. So we have all these signals in this new list that we are putting out good, valuable stuff. At the same time, we've got this old list that is diminished in size. And the only people who are on it are the people who don't care about us anymore.
No.
But we're still mailing them as well. Now the signals over here are terrible. The signals are over here are like, you know, nobody cares about this stuff. This digital marketer company is, you know, obviously nobody likes it. Now, they'll be different, and this is getting a little bit technical, you know, so they'll be on different IP addresses, but it still does track back to that domain name. It tracks back down to that original record. And so you kind of have this conflicting data out in ISP land that, okay, is digital marketer stuff good or is it bad? This group over here, they send emails over here and they love it. They send emails over here and they don't. It doesn't give a really clear signal. So yeah, we're going to mail the old list until you know, we feel like we basically have gotten everything that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll just go kablooey.
Wow.
We will set those people free. Yeah. And you have to do that. That's just good list hygiene. If somebody has if you've been sending out really good stuff, if you've been doing a bad job, then don't do this like looking back. Step one is to start putting out really, really good stuff. But if you've been putting out really, really good stuff and it's been 60, 90 days, you know, and nobody's opened or clicked on an email and you know you've been putting out good stuff for 60 to 90 days, then it's probably time to go ahead and purge those folks from your list anyway.
They're just not that into you.
And in addition to not opening, not clicking, and not giving you money, they're also bringing down your aggregate reputation score with the ISP. So they're actually hurting you by being there.
Yeah.
And so you got to get them off of your list. So there'll absolutely be a time when, you know, I fully expect the digital marketer list, you know, this time next year, it'll be smaller than it is today. This time, well, hopefully not. Hopefully not this time next year. I would expect in 6 months for the list to be smaller, this time next year for it to be about the same size, and but far more, you know, far more valuable and active.
Much better situation. I'm glad I asked that question then.
Yeah, me too. It's a good question.
So let's go into the content. So I pulled up one of the mails, the one from October 21st,
uh-huh.
Instagram versus Facebook. So it looks like we have kind of the main idea and then an article. A nice long article with a lot of screenshots, with takeaways, next steps. And then we go into the inside five.
Yep.
And then we have a tool time and then a swipe file.
Yeah. And so the tool time is always kind of like referencing so just to give everybody, so those are the sections. So kind of section number one is the featured article, mm-hmm. featured content. Section two is what we call the inside five. That's more the curated content. So it's like five things that, you know, we read that we thought was particularly interesting that you should be reading too. Generally, they're not, you know, it's not digital marketers content. So we're sending links and eyeballs out to other people's stuff.
And these are beefy showing them paragraphs. Some
love. Yeah.
These are not just, it's not just a link. These are.
Yeah. We don't just say that here's something cool that you should go and read. We tell them why.
Hmm.
And that's important. I'll come back to that because it's a way to do, because again, that's more curation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so you can do curation poorly and you can do it well. We want to do it well. The next section, like you said, is tool time.
Mm-hmm.
Tool time right now for us is truly just talking about, you know, somebody else's software or, you know, some cool, interesting tool that we find. Now, when we reference that, there's no affiliate link. It's not an ad spot. It isn't sponsored. We're just showing people love. Now, long term, we plan on selling that as advertising and we'll denote it as such, like mm-hmm. this is sponsored, or, you know, we may start, you know, leveraging affiliate offers. But as long as it's a tool, then it should be, you know, well received by the audience, but we're kind of testing how many people are clicking on this to see what kind of benefit is it. And then, yeah, the last section, the swipe file. Like, I know that the things that marketers dig on more than just about anything else is swipe files and examples. So we put that at the bottom. We want people to scroll for that. So a couple things about you know, the news. So there's a lot of different ways to structure newsletters. Some of them are heavier on curation. Some of them, it's just like one, you know, long piece of content. Some of them have different sections. After reviewing a lot of newsletters, the ones that I like, seeing other ones out there, we chose this format because I feel like, number one, you need to have some original content. And so we want to have a good, like a nice featured article there that's, you know, 800, 1200 words. Like that if you read this, you're going to get value. There's going to be examples. You're going to be happy that you read it. So that's that first section. But if that's the only thing that we had, and we're doing a weekly right now,
mm-hmm.
there's folks who they do dailies. And that's kind of the choice. Like, are you going to do it as a daily? Or are you going to do it as a weekly? Some folks send it out a couple of times a week. That's fine as well. It has to be at least weekly, right? Mm-hmm. You think about your TV shows, you know, different radio shows. It's a weekly show. You have weeklies and you have dailies. A monthly newsletter does not exist. Even if it's amazing, by the time, you know, you send it around the other time, they've forgotten about it, right? So we're going for a weekly. We may at some point get to a daily, but, you know, the reality is we also need to ask people to go and buy stuff. And so, you know, if we send a newsletter out every single day, then if at some point we're going to do a direct promo, we got to hit their inbox twice. Don't really want to do that a lot of times. So we're going with a weekly for now. We may, you know, go in and maybe do a buy, you know, twice a week. We'll see. But in our case, it's a weekly. So that first featured article, if people didn't really like it. Yeah. So in this one, the one that you're referencing, we talked about Instagram ads
mm-hmm.
and gave them some tips on how they could execute a simple Instagram ad campaign if they weren't doing it yet. You know, how to convert basically a Facebook winner into an Instagram campaign, gave some solid examples, you know, a really good, useful you know, piece of content there, but let's say you're just not into Instagram ads or you know all about it. So that wasn't particularly interesting to you. That's fine. You're not going to hold that against us, especially if you scroll down and now here's five pieces of, you know, five curated content, things that we saw that we're like, this is really, really cool. You should read this. Mm-hmm. And we tell you why. If just one of those is interesting, then we gave value to you.
Yeah.
So between the main article and the five pieces of curated content, the inside five, I got six chances of delivering value just in that first section. Now, a lot of newsletters go with a pure curation play. Mm-hmm. So the whole newsletter is, here's some things that you should be reading. The problem with that is you're not building any of your own authority, right? You're only ever sending people out, you know, elsewhere. So that's why I like doing both. And we're going to give our own content more, you know, literally more visibility. We're going to place it higher above everybody else's content. And occasionally we may put a digital marketer article if it's relevant, you know, in the inside five. But here's an important part about it. If the main article is all about Instagram, I would not have more than one or two of the curated piece of content also about Instagram. Because remember, and most of the time it's none. Most of the time the inside five has nothing to do with the core article because you don't want to theme the entire piece. Because then if I'm not that into it, then wasn't that interested in the first one, scroll down, nope. And if that happens a couple of weeks in a row, I'm out. Hmm. Like if 2 weeks in a row, just unfortunately, I wasn't that into it, or maybe 1 week I wasn't. And then, you know, I was on vacation the next week. And so I didn't read that one. It was great, but I just, you know, didn't see it, haven't got caught up yet. And then, you know, next week comes out, I read it and I'm not interested in that one. Now I'm out, right? So I want to make sure that somewhere in there, I want to hedge my bets, you know, there's some value. Now we're going to put an ad spot because at some point we may want to do it, but we want to make sure that the advertising also gives some value. So if it's a tool, a piece of software, it's one that we're using and we're going to say, here's kind of how we use it. So click on it or not, there's value. And then we know, again, the coolest, sexiest thing that people are going to like reading, it's like a potato chip, right? It's just, you know, yummy, like nom. That's going to go down at the bottom because I want our more avid readers, I want them to look forward to the swipe file section. Mm-hmm. And so when they go in, I want them to, at a bare minimum, if they got no time whatsoever, they're like, oh, I got to see swipe file. What is it this week? You know, they'll scroll all the way to the bottom and then they may go back up and read. But between the core article, the inside five, so there's five curated articles and the swipe file. That's seven ways that I have to deliver value. Two of them in the inbox. Two of them in the inbox, five of them that they got to click on to get access to. And then one of them that, you know, is more of an overt promotion. Because I do think it's important that you begin to build promotional pieces into it from the beginning. Even if you make no money from it, stick an ad in there, right? Even if it's for your own stuff, stick an ad in there so that people just get used to seeing it and it doesn't just come as a surprise. So that's how we structured it. And that's why we structured it that way. And I would really encourage writing an article every week. It's not the easiest thing in the world. You know, we have somebody now who she's dedicated to just doing that, you know, on our editorial team. I think it's worth doing, but I was talking to Sam, they put out a daily newsletter and then, you know, another longer piece on Sunday. They got three staff writers. That's it. And it's great content. So I think it's, you know, it's worth doing. If you want to be seen as a, you know, as a thought leader, if you want people opening your stuff and being excited about it, then you need to put a lot of work into that and it's worth investing in. So we have a full-time person right now that her primary focus is just on that newsletter. Mm-hmm. And any other markets we go into, that'll be one of the first hires that we make.
That's huge. That's a huge change. We're getting to the end of the hour. I don't know what your schedule is like. But before we end the conversation on newsletters, I have to bring up, okay, obviously I love newsletters and I actually really love the DM Insider, even though it's ours.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because it's ours. I think your employees should love your newsletter.
Yeah.
I feel kind of obsessed with it, but there's a new newsletter in my inbox every week that I'm kind of obsessed with, and it's our company newsletter that you started writing.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so kind of this whole email experiment, like this going back and looking at it and, you know, forcing myself to dive in, I realized that as we've grown as a company, communication becomes increasingly difficult. Like when this company was literally just five people kind of sitting in the same area around the same tables, it was easy. You just say, hey, everybody, here's what we're working on. You didn't have to communicate. You know, we do twice daily standups. And then, you know, as the company grew, we went to, you know, like a weekly meeting, but then if somebody missed it, then they might miss out on some stuff. And, you know, obviously we have Slack and some of these other areas, but what I found is, you know, I personally, like as the CEO, like as the leader of the company, I was doing a really bad job of communicating how are we doing? You know, how are we doing as a company? What matters? What did we get done last week? What are some things that should be celebrated? And so kind of in this run up to exploring, it's like, what if we just started writing a company newsletter? And so, I just decided I'm going to write a company newsletter. I follow the same basic structure that I described there, where, you know, I kind of write an article about what I'm thinking that I think is relevant to the team here. So I think last week I talked about the most recent one. I talked about how, or maybe it was two ago, I kind of took a screenshot of, you know, Jimmy, he like posted something, you know, where it was some comment code that he wrote in, you know, we were talking about this piece of software that he was working on. And, you know, the comment that he had in the actual code was, I don't know why this works, but it does. So please don't change it. And that was just it. I took a screenshot because it cracked me up. I was like, that's my life, you know, like doing things and not. So I kind of used that as an example and then shared it with the team. And of course, you know, everybody here knows, you know, they know Jimmy. And so they, you know, thought that was fun, but then there was a lesson in there. So I wanted to kind of start with, okay, here's a general lesson that I think is helpful and meaningful. And then I say, here's five things that I'm reading. And then I also share, more for accountability than anything else, here are my big three for the week. Hmm. Here are the big three things that I'm going to make sure that I get done this week. And then I also say, last week, these were my big three, and here's what I did towards those. So some cases like done, nailed it. Other cases like, didn't get this done. I suck. But to me, that it's good. I think the accountability is good. I want to model that accountability to our other leaders so that they feel comfortable sharing with their team and with one another. I also want to, again, just communicate, here's what's a priority for me. So if you're in this company and the thing that's a priority for you is never showing up in my big three and you need it to be in my big three, then that'd be a great time to come and talk to me about it. And just generally, you know, inviting feedback. So it's, you know, it's a lesson, it's some curated stuff that here's what I'm reading. If you want to kind of read some of the same stuff that I'm reading, it's here's what I'm working on. And then it's an update. Here's how we're doing as a company. Hmm. You know, so last week these things happened and those were great. You know, this other stuff happened and that wasn't so good. You know, we had a couple of bad, you know, we had a really bad month in there. And so I was able to say to the company, you know, hey, we had a really bad sales month. You know, we had some stuff happen and it, you know, if it feels like, you know, it sucks, it's because it sucks. You know, it's fine. We'll get it back. But I got so much good feedback from the team being like, thanks for saying that. Hmm. Thanks for letting me know that, yes, we had a bad month, but like, we're not all going to get laid off or something like that. You know, like just having that acknowledgement is good. So I think it just comes down to this broader thing of communication matters. And, you know, now that we have all these different means through which we can be communicated with, whether, you know, we go and read a blog or, you know, listening to a podcast or, you know, talking to somebody on Zoom, there's so many mechanisms that we have for communication, but the one that just won't die, it's like the cockroach of communication is email, right? It's the cockroach of marketing. If you know, cockroaches were, you know, sweet and lovable and made you lots of money, right? I mean, it really is. Email is the thing that I think we as marketers and also, you know, we as leaders need to reclaim and make sure that we're doing incredibly well, because I just, in our modern times, I'm not sure if there's a better medium for communication than good old email. Mm. Nothing is as efficient. The deliverability is there if you're sending to people who want to receive it. The open rates are through the roof. The readership is a piece of cake. Everybody knows how to use it. I just don't think it gets much better than email. So get better at sending email.
Yeah. I think that's about it.
All right.
Yeah. Ryan, where can people find more about you?
There's a site called digitalmarketer.com. Mm-hmm. And if you go to digitalmarketer.com, and you click on the button at the top, you can become an insider. Yep. And you go, I know, right? You'll receive our newsletter, which I've written about half of them and will continue to write. I enjoy writing those. They're mm-hmm. a lot of fun. I also enjoy the ones that I don't write, but I kind of help, because then when the newsletter shows up, I know it's good. Because
it's a surprise.
Yeah, when I'm like, ooh, I'm looking forward to reading it. Yeah. Right? And I want to see, okay, what are the articles that the teams picked? So yeah, so definitely check that out, because I do contribute pretty heavily to that. Also, Twitter. So twitter.com/Ryan Dice. I am there. That is me. That's me posting. It's me tweeting. It's me responding. Facebook, admittedly, that's the team managing that. And also LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Let me know that you heard me on this year podcast.
Cool. Well, I hope everyone has a wonderful day and have a great weekend as well. And we'll see you next time, same place.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The promo pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.